I'd like to read Psalm 32 and look to what God tells us in Psalm 32. And so I'm going to read that. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, ESV. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they will not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. If I ask you to name some of the heroes of the faith, you'd probably include David in that. You would say that. And he has pretty good credentials that would make you think that way. He was said to be a man after God's own heart. My recollection is that he's the only guy of whom that is said. So that gets your attention. His heart was displayed in that God used him to compose many of the Psalms, one of which we just read. God used him to present those. But like almost every one of our heroes of the faith, he was a seriously flawed man. I don't know who else you would have put on the list. Noah, Moses, Abraham, Hezekiah. They all displayed serious flaws. And certainly David did too. Now, in his case, this man after God's own heart was an adulterer and a murderer. It's almost impossible for us to wrap our mind around that. How could God say a man after his own heart was an adulterer and a murderer? We find it hard to believe that he ignored what he had done and just kind of carried on with life, just went on with life. So we read about that, and it's almost hard to compute. How do you put all that together? Now, before you go too far down that track, we should all admit that at one time or other, we've been where David's been. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't even have to nod your head. But you know, you've been there. You've been there. You know what, you know how those things happen. We are people who've been stirred by devotion and love. And so, you know, it can be in the morning you're praying to God and just filled with his joy and his love. And you go out, and a couple hours later, you do something that's incredibly wrong. And, That's you. That's what you have done. So we know what it is to recognize sin in our lives. And one of the nice things, I don't want to be nasty to you, but one of the nice things is I know I'm in the company of people who know what I'm talking about. Okay. Don't try to hide it. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. And so we avoid facing up to it. Well, Psalm 32 shows that the reality of ignoring your sin will come back to bite you. That's really what David is saying. It will come back to bite you. And so it's a mistake to ignore your sin. Now, it is the tendency of the human heart to ignore sin. It is the tendency. Sin comes with a temptation to hide or to cover it up, to ignore what we have done. And you know that right from the beginning. Adam and Eve kicked it off. And when they had done the very thing that God told them not to do, what did they do? They went and they thought they could hide. They thought they could get away from it. They thought, I suppose they thought that by ignoring what they had done, you know, that there would be no problem. There would be no problem. They thought hiding from God could just avoid the problem. And like I said, you may have thought that way too. Now, David was on the same track as Adam and Eve. On the same track, because he refused to face what he had done. He refused to admit what he had done. And he thought he was just going to carry on with life. La, la, la. Everything's going to be okay. That's the way he was thinking. He had had a sexual relationship with another man's wife and then had the man murdered. You know, if there was anybody in this room that did those things, you would be casting dirty looks at them. That's it. He sex with another man's wife and then had the man murdered. But then he just carried on with life as though, well, yeah, you know, I've got business to take care of and I'm going to keep doing it. Now, again, while you may want to be hard on David, you should remember that these tendencies are in you. They are in you. We have all developed strategies. We have all developed strategies that allow us in some way to hide or avoid facing up to really what's going on inside of us. We have these strategies. We can rationalize ourselves, telling ourselves we had no choice. I couldn't help but see how tight that dress was because she was standing right in front of me. I mean, I couldn't help it. All right. We can become judgmental. Because if you focus on the sins of others, you don't have to think about your own. I visited a man in prison who was in prison because of having committed sexual crimes. One day he said to me, well, at least I didn't murder anybody. As though that, you know, made what he did not so bad. Okay? It was not so bad. And we simply refuse to accept the reality of what we've done and carry on as though we didn't do anything worthy of rebuke. Yes, I know I did it, but everybody does. And we think that that's, you know, kind of makes it okay. But what God is saying is that ignoring your sin will make it worse, will make it worse. David has learned this as he describes some physical and apparently mental consequences that he talks about in this psalm. Now, I am not a psychologist, so don't pretend to be one, but it sounds like what he's describing here is depression. Now, not all depression comes from sin, but some does. It's true that you can be experiencing those things as a result of what you have done. The bottom line is that you need to fight the temptation to ignore your sin. If you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, you have a kind of a really direct between the eyes statement there. Proverbs 28, verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So, Adam and Eve live on in you. They are alive and well in you. They live on. And they are leading you to hide, to want to hide, and to ignore the things that you have done. Well, now, if you're listening to David, David's saying, this was my experience. It only made it worse. It only made it worse. So you can't just ignore. You can't just ignore. God calls you to face your sin by confessing it. That's what he wants you to do. Face up to your sin. Confess it. Now, David finally gave voice to what he had tried so hard to ignore. God did not allow him to duck the issue. Did not allow him just to walk away with it. Now, again, he was trying to just live with life as normal going on. But God says, no, you're not going to get away with that, David. You're not going to get away with that. God did not permit him to duck the issue. And maybe you remember the story. God sent the prophet Nathan, who declared to David, you are the man. You know, he told the story about the guy with the sheep and how Mahath took the sheep away and so on and so on and so on. And then David said, oh, yeah, yeah. And he says, David, that's you. And God is not going to let David walk away and ignore all of that. When you became a child of God through trusting Jesus, God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. That's what happened to you. So if you belong to Jesus, you have his Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have new life in you. And you are a new person. You run into somebody that you knew from high school and they go, oh, I remember. You remember when we were? I don't do those things anymore. Okay, I'm a new person. I'm a new person. But the Holy Spirit is at work in you. He will not allow you to sin and simply ignore it. The Holy Spirit in you will not allow that to happen. You have a conscience. When people say, well, you know, what is your conscience? My definition is it's a guilt detector. Okay. It tells you when something's wrong. So your conscience starts to cry out. Well, see, the Holy Spirit works through your conscience or can work through your conscience. And the Holy Spirit will push the alarm when you've done something. And the alarm is sounding in you. And it won't stop sounding. It won't stop sounding. It's saying, you have a problem. Now, you can try to close it out. You can try to, silence it, but it won't be silenced. It's God the Holy Spirit working in you. And that alarm will continue to sound. That alarm will sound and sound. David was brought to the point where he admitted and confessed what he had done. Now, confession, the word confess, means literally something like this, to say with, or to say the same thing, to say the same thing. So God says, and that's what's going on inside you, God says, you have sinned. And I'm not going to let you walk away from that. You got to deal with this. When you confess, you come before God and say, you know what? Yeah, God, you're right. You say the same thing. What you have put in my conscience, I'm agreeing. I confess. I have done wrong. I have done wrong, whatever it is. So when you confess, you agree and admit that you have done what God condemned. That's what confession is. So David confessed and admitted that he was guilty as charged. That's what you do when you confess. You say, yeah, God, you're right. I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. But God is crystal clear on this. If you've read the Bible, you can't miss that. I know that every now and then I talk to somebody, didn't you get this? God is crystal clear that he will never turn away or ignore the one who comes to him to confess their sins. He will never turn anyone away. He never will do that. Now, our impulses tell us to run and hide like Adam and Eve. You know, if I just ignore all these things going on in me, if I just ignore, I'll be okay. Like, I'll just go on with life the way they are. Our impulses lead us to hide from God like Adam and Eve. Well, you need to be clear. God is holy. And if you're dealing with a sin in your life, you need to understand that God hates that sin. He hates it. And that hate is not too strong a word. God hates that sin. And he hates what you have done. He hates what you have done. So it's a very uncomfortable thing. It's so uncomfortable. In other words, I understand why Adam and Eve ran and hid. I understand why David didn't want to admit. It is so uncomfortable to have to face up to stuff that you've done and face up to it before the holy God that you know hates what you have done. It is so uncomfortable to come to God in prayer and say to God, I've done what you hate. I've done what you hate. There's Peter having to face Jesus after having denied him. And Jesus shows up. Peter says, Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And again, you've been there. You may not have voiced those words, but you've been there. Leave me alone, God. Leave me alone. This is so uncomfortable, having to come to talk to you about the stuff that I have done. Again, we all squirm a bit because, I'm not alone. We've all been where Peter was. Lord, depart from me, for I am sinful, for I am sinful. God has promised to receive us. This is what we need to hear. God has promised to receive us when we come confessing our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions. 1 John chapter 1, these are verses that many Christians have memorized, and they're great ones to have available. John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, this begins by saying, if you tell yourself that you haven't sinned, you're just kidding yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And if there's anybody here, I'm not going to give you the chance, but if there's anybody here who's going to say, I never sinned. I remember meeting a guy that said, I haven't sinned in 10 years. Someone said, that's either a bad memory or a liar. Okay. Nobody here. And again, I can talk about this because I'm in good company. Okay. I'm in good company. If you say that you've never sinned, you're just kidding yourself. You're deceiving yourself. It's there. It's there. It's the reality. It's the reality. But you have to hear it loudly and clearly, as hard as it is to have to face up to that thought that I'm sinful, that I've done sinful things. You did things this morning before you got here. You're going to do things this afternoon. You're going to do them. It's so hard to deal with that. Well, God promises that if you come admitting what you have done, he forgives and he cleanses. He forgives and he cleanses. Why? Because our God has identified him as being gracious and merciful. That's why I might find it hard to forgive you, but God does not, because he is gracious, because he is gracious. So you need to swallow hard and say, I did it. Or more likely, this is the tough one, I did it again. The last time you had one of these things, you said, oh, that was terrible. I was so wrong. And then you did it again. And you say, we as human beings, of course, we're not God. And so our responses are less than ideal. So you do something nasty to me and ask your forgiveness. I say, oh, yeah, you're forgiven. and you come back the second time, it's a little bit harder to say you are forgiven. But God forgives. He is gracious. It's His nature. It's who He is. He is gracious and merciful. You're going to feel like you want to run and hide. You're going to want to run and hide. But God tells you, come, confess, and be forgiven, and be forgiven, and know that you are forgiven. Know that. That's what God tells you to do. When you confess your sin, God will restore you. God will restore you. God has promised, and it's one of those things that you need to pick up from the Bible. God has promised that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He's promised that. God sent Jesus to die on the cross, and He's not taking Him back. Okay? He's not taking Him back. What Jesus did, God is not going to undo. He's not going to undo it. Now, God might have said after reading this morning's newspaper that He has had enough. I read the Inquirer. My wife called me as I was driving up here, telling her that a friend called her in tears because she'd read the front page of the Inquirer. The front page of the Inquirer is all about the violence, the murders, you know, and it's horrible. And I didn't read it. The stories are too long, but the story of a young man being shot down, we read about that. Well, God might have said after reading the front page of the Inquirer this morning, that's enough. I've had it. I'm done. I did not send Jesus to put up with this stuff. I did not send Jesus to deal with a world like that, to put up with violence and the constant hatred we see. So God might have said, you know what? I've had it. The world does not deserve to have someone like Jesus. The world does not deserve that I do something like I've done. But of course, you've read the Bible, or if you have read the Bible, you know that isn't the way it goes. That isn't the way it goes. God has said again and again and again that He will not withdraw, that He will not take back His gracious promises. He will not do that. He's never going to back away from them. Even if we are faithless, He says, even if you are faithless, God remains faithful. God remains faithful. As a child of God, God will never abandon you. He will never, ever abandon you. And you need to know that. And you need to remember that. This is His constant message. That means that He will receive you when you call on Him. Now, it might be, I never like to assume that, in a crowd like this, there isn't somebody here who has never called on Jesus. And that's a possibility. If you've never called on Jesus to be forgiven, you might be thinking, God wants nothing to do with me. If He just knew my history, if He just knew what I have done, He would never want to hear from me and never want anything to do with me. Well, the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've been through. When you call on the Lord God through Jesus Christ to be forgiven, He does it. And He accepts you. No questions asked. No questions asked. No matter who you are or what you've done, God will hear you when you confess your sins and cry out to Him. He will receive you. You say, well, is there more to it than that? No, there isn't. All you need to do, that's what the Bible means by faith, believing that Jesus died to take away sins. And when you come to Him, you accept that He died to take away your sins. That's really significant, okay? And God will never turn away the confession of those who are his children by faith. God will never turn that confession away. Jesus died for you, and he is not going to take it back. He's not going to take it back. He has done that. While it may make you uncomfortable to have to go before God and say, "Do you know what I just did, God? I'm so embarrassed, and I'm so ashamed, and I don't want to talk to you, and I don't want to have to face you." That may be what's running through your mind. God says, "You've got to do that. You've got to do that." It may make you uncomfortable to confess your sin, knowing how he loves you. You say, "Oh, but I must have disappointed him." Yes, you did. He must have been hurt by that. Yes, he was. But does that mean he's not going to hear you? Or that he's going to diminish his love in even the slightest bit? No, it doesn't mean that. It means the moment you call upon him and say, "God, I blew it again. I did it again. God said, I hear you. You're my child. I'm not letting go of you. I'm not letting go of you." God will not turn you away. He will not do that. So you see, the child of God can be assured that God will receive and forgive you. Would you turn back to Psalm 32? We read part of it. We need to hear the end of the story. Psalm 32, the end of the story. "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." There's the end of the story, okay? That's how it ends. That's how it ends. And that's a great ending. You are hearing the words. Remember, you are hearing the words of a man who committed adultery and murder. You're hearing his words. He had tried to avoid facing God with this truth. He had run away. God didn't let him do it. God made sure he got the message. He struggled with the misery that it led him, that was left in him. Like I said, this may describe a kind of depression. He had to deal with that misery. But now he shouts for joy as he realizes that God, in his mercy and his grace, has forgiven him and keeps him. This then is the legacy of those who belong to Jesus. That's what you need to take with you today. I don't care if you forget everything else, but you need to remember that the legacy of God is that he is deeply committed to his children. And if you are here this morning carrying the conscience of a sinful conscience, you need to know that you can't run from God. It's not going to work. He's not going to let you do that. You need to know that he will forgive you. Like I said, you have sinned this morning. I won't go around and ask you to talk about it. You did. I don't know what it is. And I just as you will this afternoon. I'm sorry to be so negative, but you will. OK, I don't know what it'll be. I wish I could say I wouldn't, but I'll be part of that, too. And you will, and again, I put myself in the same class as you, you will feel bad having to admit it. You'll feel bad having to admit it. And you'll resist. You'll fight and say, "Oh, I don't want to have to say it. I don't have to talk about this to God. I don't want to have to do that." Fight the temptation to run. Fight the temptation to run from God's gracious love. And instead of running from it, run to it. Run to it. God has promised that because of Jesus, he will receive you and he will restore you. You need to know that. And you need to know that next year. And you need to know that tomorrow. You need to know that. When you ignore your sin, nothing good comes from it. Nothing good. Nothing good. If you have been running from God, let me tell you, give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Now, it may be for the first time in your life, you're seeing that you need to trust Jesus.
Do it. Okay? Stated simply, do it.
Trust Him. He will receive you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. This is not just my opinion. This is what God says. God says He will forgive you. Do it. Turn to Him. Trust Him. Do it. And it may be that today you need to come and confess something that you have confessed countless times. And you say, how many times is God going to put up with me doing this stuff? You need to come again and confess, just like you've done countless times before. Do it. Simple, simple thing. Do it. Come before God and say, God, I've sinned. I did it again. I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. When you confess that you are sinful and have sinned, God receives you. And guess what? There will come that point where you will shout for joy again. Why will you shout for joy? Because you will see once again so clearly the greatness of God, the greatness of His mercy and grace, the greatness of what it means that Jesus hung on the cross. You'll see that again. So you need to fight the urge to run and hide from Him. Fight it. Fight it. Come again to the God who sent Jesus to make forgiveness and restoration a reality. Come to Him. Let's pray. Lord, these are glorious and delightful truths. We hate to admit that we sin. We hate to admit that we disappoint You, that we fail You, that we don't do what You tell us to do. We hate to have to admit that, but it's that way, Lord. But we do it knowing full well that You are a God of grace and mercy. And because of Jesus, You forgive, You receive, You restore, and we shall again shout with joy in what You have done. In the name of Jesus, amen.